the two popes in my pants. All right, sup with the Sup Playful Banter podcast listeners. Back with you once again with Kyle. I'm Robbie. Kyle.
Yes.
We are in like week two of quarantine life. How you living?
I am living like the third windowsill over on the seventh floor.
The third windowsill. So you're not the window itself, you're a sill.
Correct.
So you are kind of the launching point or landing point, depending on your perspective. But either way, you're probably a bird, which is a mistake. What were the numbers? Third over? Seventh over?
Third over on the seventh floor.
Seventh floor. Okay, so pretty high up. Could do some damage from up there. I think you're about perspective right now, Kyle. I think that's where you're coming from, is perspective. I think that the numbers were just to throw me off, give me a bit of a curveball. But I know that right now you're just trying to look above it. You're trying to be above the fray. You're looking down at all the craziness below. You're waiting it out. You're having a little bit of fun, people watching. But you know at the end of the day that you could do some real damage from up there if you decided to spit or do some other kind of function.
Some other kind of function. What do you got in mind?
Yeah. You could throw water. You could... I don't really want to speculate what you could do from up there, but it would be devastating. Okay. You know, especially if you continue, like what birds do from above, if you were to do that, it'd really shake some things up.
Fly?
Yeah. You know who else shook some things up, Kyle?
Who shook some things up?
Madam C.J. Walker, also known as Sarah Breedlove. Now, Kyle, you hadn't heard of her before today, nope. But some of our listeners may have heard of her. Through the new Netflix series, which I have just finished. It's called Self-Made. And she is credited in the Guinness Book of World Records as being the first ever female self-made millionaire in America.
I can't believe we're not in the Guinness Book of World Records.
It's a matter of time, really. I think what we're struggling with is we haven't set a goal as to exactly what we're trying to get in the book for. But I think once we do that, it's pretty much just, it's over from there.
That's a good
point. Once we set our mind to it, we just need to, if there was one thing you would like to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for, Kyle, what would it be?
I mean, the first most realistic thing for us that comes to mind is some sort of food toss record.
Yes. I wonder what that would be. Should I do some quick research?
Probably not.
While you talk about Madam C.J. Walker?
I don't think I have the capability of that. I did not watch the Netflix show.
Well, then I'll talk about her. And then you can vamp for a while I do the research then. Or you can do the research if you stop being so lazy. Anyway, in addition, so it didn't even come up with her world record of being the first ever female self-made millionaire in America. But she was also an African-American woman in the early 1900s when it was an extremely difficult time to be black in America. And so her success nationwide was truly just astounding what she was able to accomplish. She was able to do this because she actually created and distributed her own hair grower, and that grew into other hair and beauty products specifically made for and marketed to African-American women living in America. And so that was obviously a big market that was not really being addressed by any of the other major corporations. And so she took advantage of that and was able to really create an empire of hair and beauty products So not only is she a record setter, but she used her money for good as well. She was very active when it came to philanthropy and activism in the early and mid 1900s. She unfortunately died very young. She died in 1919 at the age of 51. So didn't live too long, but she was super active in donating to historically black colleges. She was credited with giving the largest ever donation to the NAACP at the time, close to her death in 1919. And she was very active in like anti-lynching legislation and lobbying as well. And so I would highly recommend the Netflix series. It's only 4 episodes. They're like 45 minutes each. Good quarantine watch. Octavia Spencer is the star of it, and she's a boss.
She is great.
She could be Woman of the Week in her own right. And so highly recommend that show. Highly recommend you look into Madam C.J. Walker. Even so, her real name is Sarah Breedlove, but she kind of created this whole Madam C.J. Walker, C.J. Walker was her husband, and the brand was built around him, which kind of says something about
society
the time. But even after they divorced, she wanted to keep that name and keep that brand for her business and stuff. And so, and apparently she was rather insistent on that being a part of her identity as well. So that's kind of interesting as well.
So some preliminary research, totally unrelated to Sarah Walker, but more related to the food tossing. There is a record for most grapes caught in the mouth in 3 minutes of 223 by George Goins of Belgium. And there is a record for greatest distance catching a grape in the mouth self-thrown of 21 meters, which I think I should make a run for. I can't see one that's a partner on the Guinness World Records site. So maybe we have an opening.
Self-thrown?
Mm-hmm.
Self-thrown was a height, like throwing it straight up?
I was envisioning like throwing it and catching it while running 21 meters, but I'm not sure.
So you're telling me that no one is actually in there for partner food tossing?
Not from my 20 seconds of research on the Guinness World Records site.
And the other one was a 3 minute time.
Yep. And I
wonder if there's a certain height you have to hit.
I feel like there's got to be some sort of specifications. It did not list them, but some sort of like distance or height. Otherwise, you can just toss them in your mouth real quick.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of height requirement. But if there's no partner thing in there, I think if we just stand like 10 feet apart from each other and just dart them all day for like 5 minutes, see how many we get, we got to get in there.
Right?
We should look into
this. I think we have a chance.
This could be our thing. Thank you for the inspiration, Madam C.J. Walker. Because of you, we will join you. See, now, I will say one of the genius things of her accomplishment, nobody can ever beat her on that.
The first is a great record to have.
Yeah, no one else can be first. I will say it does denote that there may have been other people who could hold the title of women being the first self-made millionaire, but their wealth was not as well documented. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was earlier, and
I also feel like self-made is a difficult thing to quantify because nobody's really self-made. It takes a village. But congrats, madame.
Right. Yeah, and you know, doing a little more research and stuff, it is possible that she might have stolen the recipe for her hair grower from someone else, a rival.
Imitation's the best form of flattery.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle, I think we also could benefit from a little bit of hair grower.
That's fairly true.
Yeah, so I don't know how we can get on this train. It's not really marketed to us since we're not black women.
It doesn't matter who it's marketed to. It matters if it works.
Yeah, I don't know. We could try it. We can see. Kyle, how is life in quarantine for you?
It is okay. I have enjoyed working from home more than I thought that I would. I never thought that, like, all growing up, I was like, I could never work from home. Because, like, doing homework at home, I hated it. I would always procrastinate and do everything else. But I've actually come up with a fairly good routine for working from home. The problem is being done with work and then not being able to go anywhere has been the issue for me. But it's not as bad as I thought it would be, to be honest.
Yeah, my sleep schedule is what's messing me up.
I figured that may happen to you.
Which we knew it would.
Yeah. So when are you waking up nowadays?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting question, Kyle, because our norm, our goal was like 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. right? Remember on the last podcast we talked about having a schedule, yep. right? The schedule says 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. That hasn't happened yet, but that's what the schedule says. Our standard has been around 10,
okay.
waking up. Last night, I finished a book, and I could not stop thinking about it, and my brain couldn't turn off, and so I didn't go to bed until like 5.
Ooh.
So, and I just laid there, wasn't even tired, just couldn't turn my brain off. You mm-hmm. know how that goes. So I woke up at like 11:30 today.
Yikes. I've discovered for me that like
yeah. and the days
10 p.m. to 7 a.m. is the optimum time for me to be sleeping.
That's a great habit to like, be in. I am not
like
in
my
it.
Body is naturally tired at 10, and it just I right now I'm waking up without an alarm at 7, so it's been wonderful for me. But your body has a slightly different rhythm than mine.
Are you really getting 10 hours of sleep?
9. 10 to 7.
9. Yeah. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very good for you. Very good for you. But so yeah, the days tend to be shorter when you sleep in until 11:30.
The nights are longer when you go when you don't go to bed till 5.
That's true. I cruised through like, you know, a 400-page book in like 3 days because you know, when you stay up until 2 a.m. reading it, you can make yeah. some real progress. And I assume that's what a lot of people are doing with their time right now. We actually did something kind of fun on the social medias with our Playful Banter coronavirus survival mm-hmm. kit, Kyle. And so for those of you that didn't see it, why didn't you? It was on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. You're missing out on big things if you're not yep. there. But Kyle, I want to know what your coronavirus, survival kit would consist of. And so to catch the people up, are you looking at the survival kit? So tell the people what the survival kit options are, and then how would you construct it? You got $15.
We've got the $5 options are the Nintendo Switch, limitless alcohol, and a puppy. And then we've got $4 options of Amazon Prime, iPad, or free food delivery. $3 options of Netflix, Hulu, or Disney Plus, the streaming services. $2 options of unlimited ebooks, comfy blanket, home workout DVDs. And the $1 options are hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and a deck of cards.
No one picked the deck of cards.
Which is surprising to me. I would, I think, if I was putting this together. Maybe it's because we have toilet paper.
I think of...
I guess it depends on how you're looking.
That is kind of a distinction that some people don't
Yeah, it depends on how you're looking at it. Like, is it me where I'm at now, I can add these things? Or is it I start with zero and these are the things that I could get?
Yeah, it's kind of up to each individual person. Yeah, I would say start with zero, but maybe not with the toilet paper one, because that one's just kind of an assume that you got toilet paper. I don't know. Because I would say the distinction for me is like with that $3 category of Netflix, Hulu, mm-hmm. and Disney, I already have those things, so I wouldn't actually have to get them. But if I'm building my survival kit, I want one of those things. And so, I don't know. Maybe when it comes to the toilet paper or whatever, you can just go ahead and say that you already have that. But
yeah. When I'm doing these, I usually try and go for value. So I try and get like a couple of the lower dollar ones as opposed to the higher dollar ones. But I feel like you did a pretty good job spreading this out. So I feel like I may actually just go like one from each line if I were doing this. Like I do puppy.
Ooh.
I would do iPad.
Yes.
I would do Netflix. I would do ebooks. And I would do cards.
Wow. That's interesting. Not a lot of people have done that. I will say pretty much everybody who has responded to us has wanted a puppy.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah, unless you're like a hardcore cat person.
But you mean $5 for a puppy. Yeah. A lot of people would probably just spend their $15 on getting three puppies and would just call it good. I think that would be a really good way to survive the coronavirus. If I were to do it, I would actually – I go – bang for the buck. And so I go puppy and limitless alcohol right away.
Okay.
That's 10 of my dollars right there, but I don't even need the other five at that point. But I would also go Netflix, gets me up to $13. And I think I might be the only person that actually picked home workout DVDs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that exercise is a really important way to fight that like depression and stuff, and you know you can only go outside and walk or run so often, and having somebody guide you through like working out at home is really valuable, and other people didn't seem to agree too much.
I mean, I agree with that. I think Danny and I have been doing the Nike Training Club app, which are essentially home workout DVDs but just through an app, and that's been super fun.
Right.
I just
same
felt
thing.
Like yeah. I would rather have unlimited ebooks, and then I can do my own workouts or go for runs and stuff. It's not as necessary to me.
I can definitely see that argument. I was going to do ebooks too, but I also I did the thing where I was on the fence and I was like, well, I already have a bunch of books. I don't need to spend the money on the ebooks. So I get that I do not approach this with any kind of fidelity. Like I bend the rules to how I want them. Some of the other responses that people have given. Aaron Guterelli wants unlimited ebooks, Disney Plus, a puppy, Amazon Prime, and hand sanitizer. Zach ZKane 13 on Twitter said, well, since I'm an American, I should probably immediately spend all of it on TP. Also, if puppies were actually $5, Aaron Guterelli would load the apartment with at least 10 while I'm at work. That seems realistic. At Alex Brown _07 said, puppy, Netflix, blanket, books, Disney.
He would go blanket.
Which I think is pretty close to, he would go blanket. That man needs a blanket. Friend of the podcast, you've all listened to him, so you know that man needs a blanket. He went Netflix and Disney. Not a lot of people are going for two of the, like spending six of their dollars so that they can have two different platforms.
Yeah, and he avoided the $1 line. But he's a Star Wars guy, so he needs his Disney Plus things right. too.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of why I was surprised he went with Netflix at that point. If he got Disney Plus, he does need Disney Plus. Andrea Rose _22 said unlimited books, alcohol, TP, comfy blanket, and puppy. And she also said that feels like a steal, which I would have to agree. Yep. Let's face it, people, a puppy's never going to be $5. Eh. We got to like, and limitless alcohol will never be $5.
That's true. It's a relative game.
It's a relative game, absolutely. Andrea went with no streaming platforms, which I think is interesting.
Probably just thought she'd go over to Alex since he has two.
That's true. Yeah, they're password sharers. Chess Allen PDX, so I'm going to put on blast in a little bit.
Fortunately.
I spoke too soon. Someone else is on my workout DVDs train here of thought. TP, workout DVDs, Netflix, iPad, alcohol. That's actually pretty close to you with the alcohol. No, you didn't do alcohol. You did puppy. He doesn't want a puppy. Wow. No puppy.
He's got three kids. He can't handle Chess more
Allen
things
hates
around.
Puppies, people. He hates puppies.
Breaking news.
Wow.
Our blue ribbon listener hates puppies.
That's too bad. Yeah. The man does need TP, though. With two children and a newborn on the way, the man needs toilet paper.
Fair.
And then I believe on the Facebook, while I find it, why don't you tell people what card game you would play with the cards that you got, since you're the only one that actually believes in it.
Well, the advantage of cards is multifold. You've got single-person games like Solitaire and such, and then you've got all sorts of multi-person games. And then also, I've always wanted to be very good at card tricks, and I feel like quarantine would be a great time to become like a card magician.
You would be someone who... You're a manipulator. You would like card tricks.
Yeah, I watched a documentary on Hulu about like the greatest card trick guy. He's blind, but he's like can do crazy things with cards. I forget what it's called, but I recommend you watch it.
Like magicians? Like, so when you say card tricks, do you mean like magic type of tricks, or like throwing cards and doing like weird shuffling? Like there's different kinds of
cards. He's good at like the weird shuffling, but like I mean, none of it's real magic, but like sleight of hand magic trick stuff.
That's kind of cool. And he's blind. Mm-hmm. That's very impressive.
Yeah, like he'll always know exactly what card he's dealing you, even though he can't see anything.
Very interesting. Okay. We had a few responses on the Facebook as well. Nintendo Switch from Aaron Seitz.
Yeah, I knew she wouldn't go puppy.
Which is an interesting choice for her. Yeah. She did not go puppy. No. Which I'm lobbying every day right now for a puppy. I feel like
I feel like it would help get you up earlier in the morning.
This is the time to have a puppy. See? That's a good point. Because she's even said that. She's like, you really want to get up for a puppy? I was like, that is the only thing that I will ever actually get up for. And so if you want me up...
And it's a great alarm, because once a dog decides it wants to get up, it's hard to snooze that sucker.
Yeah, yeah. You could just ignore it, but then you get a dookie in the hallway. So Aaron wants a Nintendo Switch, Netflix, Amazon Prime. She's actually the first one, I think, to say that she wants mm-hmm. Prime. Comfy blanket and toilet paper. So I'm pretty sure she actually did what you did and took one from each price range.
Prime is a good pick because you get the streaming service and deliveries.
Right. That's true. Although I will say the Prime stuff is kind of wonky right now because they are prioritizing like necessary cleaning and household items above like fun stuff. And so even if something is Prime, you're not going to get it in 2 days.
That is true.
Which is an interesting caveat. But yes, that does get you the streaming service. Sherry McGowan. She looks nice.
Shout out to my mom.
Puppy, parentheses, to get you out of your own head, which means she talks to dogs.
Oh, she absolutely does. She oftentimes gets me mixed up with the dogs.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. So she goes, puppy, Hulu, ebooks, comfy blanket, toilet paper, sanitizer. I think she's also the first person to go sanitizer.
Yeah, she made a bold, did she use all of her money? I think she took two $1 ones.
So let's see, puppy is $5, Hulu gets her to $8, ebooks is $10, comfy blanket is $12, toilet paper, sanitizer. She left $1 on the board, yeah, on the field.
That's how much she doesn't like Dexa wow. card. She has an extra $1 and she's still not going to get them.
two rations of sanitizer. What a mom move. And then Patrick Hewitt responded on the Facebooks. He wants bottomless booze, Grubhub, Netflix, blanket, and toilet paper. He also went down the price range line. He might have been the only one to say Grubhub, though. And so we're seeing a pretty wide array.
There is a big spread. Values. You did a good job here on this thing.
Thank you, Kyle. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. I'm not sure anybody... Did anybody respond to it on the gram?
I don't think so.
J102, who's been on the podcast recently, did say, I feel like just the puppy should be $15. Jeremy, that's not what we're here for. We're here to play the game. Stop trying to give us an appropriate value.
So maybe
value.
He's saying three puppies, $15.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Kyle, I also updated the blog this week on playfulbanter.org. Everybody should go check it out. I will be posting another one by the end of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it'll be on yet. Kyle, you have any blog murmurings rummaging around in your head? Can you tease the people on what your next one's going to be?
I will not tease the people, but I think I do have one that I can pop up here in the coming days. I don't know how to tease it without giving it away.
Okay. So you won't even tease the tease?
No. No, I won't.
So you gotta go to playfulbanter.org mm-hmm. to hear what's going on there. Kyle won't give a thing away. I was going to post some educational teach from home suggestions, but I might also do something else too. And so people got to check out playfulbanter.org to check out all those things as well. Kyle, what we can tease is after the break, we're going to do a Would You Rather.
We be back. See what I did there? I messed with the grammar this time.
Well done. No, way to make it more accessible to the people. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to do is get some things off our chest, Kyle.
Okay. You want me to take my shirt off?
No. Are you wearing pants right now?
I am. Sweatpants.
So, by the way, once again, this is our second remote podcast, and so we've got the Skype going. We're doing different things with the audio this week. We want to try and clean it up a little bit.
Let us know how it goes.
I was telling Kyle during the break, yeah, it might not be perfect because I can't keep my hands away from my phone because I'm looking at stuff, and so I might keep bumping the microphone. It might be horrible. And if so, we're learning. We'll adjust. I apologize. But we're doing this remotely. And so we've got a Skype call going here, and we're recording. And I don't know if Kyle's wearing pants. He doesn't know if I'm wearing pants. And that's just some of the intrigue that you are listening along with us today.
Yeah, it's something.
Tantalizing, I know. I'll tell you at the end of the episode. Ooh, let's start doing this, Kyle. All of our remote podcasts at the end, we're going to tell people whether or not we were wearing pants.
And we can do that even when we're not doing remote podcasts.
I love it. Okay. So we got some snickets, Kyle. One snicket that I've noticed with all the group chats that are going on, like work group chats and all that, it has driven me absolutely crazy. First of all, it drives me crazy whenever there's somebody in there without an iPhone anyway, because the bubbles go from blue to green, and that's just not nearly as satisfying, and it bothers me. But whenever there's somebody in there that doesn't have an iPhone, anytime, you know how you can like click on a text or click on an image and respond to it and it says like, ha ha.
Yes, the exclamation points or the thumbs up or the yes.
So that's great when everybody has an iPhone. But when you don't have an iPhone, anytime someone does that, it sends a whole nother text to the whole group saying, Sue liked an image. Amanda said, ha ha, laughed at an image or whatever. And so I walk away and I come back and I have like 45 text messages waiting for me. And 40 of them are people laughing or exclaiming or loving one text that someone else said. And it just bothers me.
I do think it is, poor texting etiquette to do that sort of emoji or whatever it is, adding onto a text when it's not an Apple group text. I think it's bad etiquette.
And I'll say it's kind of a mom move. I think it's kind of a boomer move, and that's who does it.
I don't know. I've actually, a lot of the younger people that I work with do it as well. Cause I feel like they use that so much more in their general texting. So I don't know. I've seen it a lot. One thing that I enjoyed though was in one of my work group texts, somebody laughed at something and then realized that they accidentally laughed at the wrong thing, and so then they unlaughed at it, and it said, "So and so removed their laughter from this text," and I got a kick out of that. So then I laughed at the thing that said he removed his laughter from the text, and it got into a whole big thing.
Oh, that's how black holes are created.
Yeah, I enjoyed it though. So it was a positive that came out of the poor etiquette.
Well, at least there's a silver lining, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Kyle, have you looked at this? So we're going to... Oh, another snicket that I have, and this is real quick, is when friends of the podcast don't RSVP for weddings.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Whether you're going or not, the RSVP is an essential part of any sort of invitation that's been given.
Yeah, and it is rude to not RSVP. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Chess. I just called him out. He's the only one that listens anyway. I know that you're having a baby. I know. I get it. But I'm mad at you. Kyle's not mad at you.
Just go to the wedding website. Which has been postponed a year for anybody who's listening still.
And now you have a whole nother year to re-RSVP and right the ship. But he better be there. He better be. I'm gonna kidnap him.
That would be bold.
I won't kidnap his kids, but
I'll the cops are showing up at my wedding.
I'm telling you right now. Well, they'll probably be there anyway.
Could be.
It's actually good that you did announce it on the website, though, because all those Russian people in shacks that listen and that we invited to the wedding, they probably didn't get a formal notice.
That's a good point.
So they might still show up. So
they go to the wedding website and realize.
Practice your social distancing. Kyle, transitioning on now. Something else that's great. Two things that are great, even, are some of our favorite sitcoms, which is The Office and Friends. Mm-hmm. I know that we're both very high on The Office. I think I might be higher on Friends than you, if I remember correctly. Know.
Maybe higher than me, but I'm on the top half of the ladder, at least.
Yeah, they're both top five. They're both top five sitcoms to me. So what BuzzFeed has done is kind of merged, basically stolen our whole podcast. And we play Would You Rather, and we talk about these two sitcoms a lot. And so they have a, I dare you to take this, The Office versus Friends Would You Rather poll. Okay, we can switch off questions and then tell people what the results are. Okay, do you want to do the first one?
The first Would You Rather, listen to Andy play his banjo in the break room or watch Phoebe play at Central Park?
I think I would go Phoebe.
I'm definitely going Phoebe. As much as I love the banjo, and I do like Andy playing the banjo, Phoebe playing at Central Park is iconic.
Yep. And what are the results?
75% of people agree with us.
That's right. And this is not a small poll, by the way. I'm adding the numbers together, and almost 275,000 people have participated in these polls, and so it's a pretty good barometer for how America and the world feels. Andy is super good at the banjo, but yeah, I agree with you. Phoebe playing at Central Park, you never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
All right. Would you rather try Kevin's chili before it spilled on the floor or have Ross make you a moist maker sandwich, Thanksgiving leftovers with a slice of gravy soaked bread?
I'm going chili.
I think I'm going chili too.
I'm not a Thanksgiving guy.
I probably would go sandwich.
You hate the name.
I like Thanksgiving, but I'm not a gravy guy. And moist maker. Yes, you're right. I'm not a moist man.
There's a quote. Put that on a t-shirt. I'm not a moist man.
I'm not a moist man. Kyle, 54% of the world agrees with us that they would try Kevin's chili.
Yeah, we are still in the majority here.
If we get all the way through with having picked everything, we're running for office because clearly America agrees with us. All right, what's next?
Would you rather watch Michael's movie Threat Level Midnight or sit through the one-woman play Why Don't You Like Me? I feel like this is an easy one.
It is so easy. Who would sit through that play? Especially, like, even if the choice was do nothing or watch that play, why would you watch that play? Let alone watch a classic film like Threat Level
Midnight. Yeah, and the people agree 86%. So there's still 35,000 people that said they'd sit through the one-on-one play, but vast majority saying Threat Level Midnight.
Crazy, crazy, crazy people. All right, Kyle, this one's interesting. Would you rather have Jan be your ex or have Janice be your ex? I feel like in some ways, Jan is a little based on Janice. Even the name is similar.
Yeah, I to me, it's Jan because there's a better chance that she'll leave you alone. Janice, the laugh just keeps popping up in places where you don't want it. I feel like Jan didn't often pop up in places where you didn't want her.
Right. I don't know. It's interesting because the voice of Janice is just nails on a chalkboard. Like, and for that, I would not vote for her. But I will say during that rather unstable period of Jan's life where, you know, they have like that dinner party at their house and she goes kind of nuts, Janice never actually came across to me as that, like,
agreed,
kind of crazy, like, you know, manic type of person. But, you know, Jan's more of a manipulator and Janice is kind of like a little more clueless, I guess. But I would probably still say Jan being the ex would be better.
And the majority of people agree, although it is tight, 56% to 44%.
I like that split. I think that that's fair. I think that's fair. Ooh, this is a good one, Kyle. Would you rather have a holiday party with Dwight dressed as the Belschnickel or have an afternoon of festive fun with Ross dressed as the Holiday Armadillo?
I feel like I'm going to Holiday Armadillo.
I'm going Belschnickel. Belschnickel is a party animal, even though he's not a literal animal like the armadillo.
Yeah, I feel like I'm fearing for my safety if Belschnickel's around. And I still remember the first time I saw the Holiday Armadillo, and I actually laughed out loud when I saw the Holiday Armadillo for the first time.
It was super funny. I will say this. The Holiday Armadillo, more of an educational figure.
Yep.
Whereas Belschnickel is more of the party organizer. So, but I agree that the premise of a Holiday Armadillo played much perfectly on TV. I think that that was hilarious.
Yes.
But if I actually had to have one come into my house, it might be Belschnickel.
All right. And the majority do agree with you, although this is the closest one yet. 51% to 49% on Belschnickel's side.
Only 5,000 votes separate them. That's crazy. All right. One of us should be Belschnickel for Halloween, and one of us should be the Holiday Armadillo for Halloween. And then we just let people at the party pick.
I feel like the Holiday Armadillo is a pretty expensive costume.
Well, you got to reserve it early.
Would you rather win a Dundee or go with Joey to the Soapy Awards?
Dundee.
Agreed. I don't care about soaps. I mean, it'd be fun to hang out with Joey, but I don't care about anything else there.
It's more lavish, I guess, but it's not at a Chili's. And Chili's is great.
Feel God in this Chili's tonight.
Survey says,
win a Dundee. 52% to 48%, another close one.
Yeah, people are pretty split on these two. I think there's a lot of show loyalty that goes into surveys like this, probably.
Yeah, agreed.
I bet you a lot of those people would probably just pick it because they got to go with Joey. And anytime you get to hang out with Joey would be a good time.
Exactly.
But I think the lure of the Dundies,
mm-hmm,
the pageantry, it's hard to turn down. I like this one. Would you rather go to a bachelorette party with a Ben Franklin impersonator or go to a bachelorette party where Danny DeVito is the stripper?
This one is tough. because Danny DeVito as a stripper is legendary. But at that party, they ended up having to console him, and I don't know if that's what I want.
But he rallied, Kyle. He rallied.
I guess that's true. Yeah, maybe I'll go DeVito.
I'm immediately regretful that I did not get a Ben Franklin impersonator to come to your bachelor party.
Yeah, we both missed that opportunity.
Yeah, and just have him stand there in like that Airbnb in Nashville and tell you about Ben Franklin's
life. We could have gone on a road trip to national parks with Ben Franklin.
Just sitting in the back of the car. Oh,
you never came this far west, did you, Benny?
No, Ben Franklin at Old Faithful. That would be a beautiful sight. But I personally would not be able to turn down Danny DeVito in his stripper
and role. That is the majority, 65% going with DeVito.
Yeah, baby. I'm still 100%. You've only missed one.
I still stand by my one. Would you rather accidentally cook your foot on a George Foreman grill or get a terrible spray tan on half of your body?
One is more painful than the other, for sure. But the long-term ramifications, they're both pretty embarrassing. And so maybe you just have to come at it from an embarrassment. Which one would you be more embarrassed to have done?
I think I'd be more embarrassed with the foot cooking. But I do feel like if I wasn't Michael and I was me, I could do a better job of masking how I actually burnt my foot than he did.
Yeah, he advertised it. He definitely tried to play the victim like that was a horrible thing that was done to him. I will say, Michael's story of telling how he burned his foot, which was so just like, you know, defensive, just be like, what? I like the smell of bacon in the morning. So I wake up, I plug in my George Foreman grill, I put 6 strips of bacon on it, I go back to sleep, and I wake up to the smell of sizzling bacon. What's wrong? Like everybody does that.
Yes.
The Ross thing is just repeated acts of stupidity.
Yeah, he really messed that one up. But I feel like I'd rather that because of pain.
You'd rather have the spray tan?
I think so.
I mean, I get that, but also, you know how long you walk around with that fake tan on half of your body versus, you know, Michael, once he stopped being a baby. Like, if Michael wasn't a baby, he could have played it off like it never happened.
That is true.
I think I go Michael Scott here. I think I'd rather cook my foot than walk around with that terrible spray tan for weeks.
Well, the majority is with me on the spray tan, 68% to 32%.
Ooh. Wow. I misjudged by a wide margin there. I think it's got to be the pain thing. It's got to be.
I think so too. That's what it was for me. Like, I prefer not pain.
Yeah. All right. Up next, would you rather go to a dinner party with Michael and Jan once a year? We've talked about the dinner party. Or eat Rachel's trifle. Half trifle, half shepherd's pie, once a month. So the dinner party's only once a year, but eating Rachel's trifle is once a month, so 12 times a year.
Yeah, I would much rather do the party. I mean, one, because it's only once a year, and I don't have to work with Michael, so it's not like, to me, seeing Michael and Jan once a year would be hilarious.
Yeah, if you were able to prepare for it, I think like the big thing with that one was they didn't, like, Pam was very upset because she didn't get to eat. Like, they ate very late. And so, yeah, if you were able to prepare for that and just knew that it was going to be crazy and awkward and stuff, I will say, if you knew Rachel's trifle was coming, could you separate it out so that, like, I wouldn't want to eat it all in one bite, but if you just ate the shepherd's pie part of it and then you ate the trifle part of it, maybe you could do that once a month. I don't know.
You could try
shepherd's pie. I don't know. Nah, I would go to the dinner party once a year. You could do anything once a year.
Yeah, 76% agree with the dinner party.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, this is the last one, Kyle.
Finally, would you rather never watch an episode of The Office again or never watch an episode of Friends again?
Ooh, that's tough. I would this never is, watch an episode of Friends one. Again.
I'm with you. Yeah, I wouldn't very like sad. It, but it's what I would choose if forced to make a decision.
I don't think that I would enjoy life very much. I could afford to lose Friends more than I could afford to lose The Office.
And the people of BuzzFeed yeah. agree.
All right, so I think we each only missed one.
Mm-hmm.
We could run for office on those numbers, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm more electable than you, because the one that I missed was barely a miss.
Yeah, whatever. Mine I poorly misjudged, if I remember correctly. What was it that I missed? I missed the tan versus the foot. 68-32. Yeah, that was a bad loss for me. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up with some big Frankie Muniz news as well as some big Jaden Smith news. So don't go anywhere.
For the last time, we're back. Today. We'll be back again another day.
Nice. Good segue, Kyle.
Just had to clarify.
Kyle, let's wrap this sucker up. What do we need to know?
We need to know that it's happy birthday to Diana Ross, as well as Kenny Chesney.
Oh, I like Kenny.
Kenny's 52.
I like Kenny. Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Man. When you're tan like that, you just don't age, I guess. The man's been wearing a sleeveless like shirt for like 40 years now, and denim. Yeah. That's all he wears,
and he rocks it. Our tweet of the week, brought to you by Jaden Smith for the first time in a long time on March 25th, saying, "I'm gonna start a TikTok just to cry on it."
Who wouldn't want to watch that? And again, that's what makes me mad about Jaden Smith, is I feel like he could make a lot of money off of his TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
And he could get millions of views because people will just sit there and watch him cry. Whereas we have to do everything, like sweat and blood and tears, and can't even get anybody outside of our friend circle and the Russians that live in the shack to listen to us.
As soon as we get on the Guinness Book of World Records, though, then our career is going to take off.
That's true. That's the only thing missing. I think that's our launching point. So we need to do some more research. You know who will never be in the world record books?
Frankie freaking Muniz.
Talking about worst person ever. Would be Frankie Muniz, yes. And we should say congratulations, I guess, to Frankie for getting married.
More like I'm sorry to his wife.
Yes, very sad for her. I'm sorry. But I have to credit my mother on this one, because she's a loyal listener, and she sent me a text message the other day of a screenshot or a picture of that she took of an article in People magazine about Frankie Muniz's wedding last month, and said, "Just thought you should know." Thanks for the setup, Madre. Yeah. And it was noteworthy because at his wedding, and I feel like this has to be a sign from some part of the universe, at his wedding, he knocked over some dry flowers into a candle and a fire lit, which has to be a sign that he's going to hell, right? Like, that's just what it has to be.
It's some sort of sign that we are winning this feud right now.
Yeah, I think that is exactly what it means. It was a sign to us. And I'm glad that it came to us through People magazine / my own mother, that we were able to learn about that. Screw him, but never fear the bacon. Have plenty of bacon, not on a George Foreman grill, next to your bed. And we will be back with our next remote podcast. Stay in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Email us at theplayfulbanterpodcast@gmail.com. Check out blogs and videos on playfulbanter.org. Kyle, 6 words of motivation to send the people out.
Together we can fly high.
Woo!